ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Our minds are not renewed by watching CNN. I'm just telling you, I know that you, some of you are shocked by that, but it's true. CNN is not renewing your mind. You know how you renew your mind? By reading the Word of God. And there it goes, transforming us into the image of Christ. How important it is. We need to let go of these things of the world. This is in our home. Our citizenship's in heaven. These things are going to pass away. Life is going to get tough for Christians. You think of what's going on in China right now. We don't even hear about that with what's going on with the churches in China. I'm not talking about the state churches, the ones that the state allows, because those churches are following the communist leaders, okay, what they have to say. I'm talking about churches that are teaching from the Word of God. Those pastors are being arrested, put in prison. They are being dismantled. Churches are being destroyed. But I'll tell you what, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church, and they will become stronger and better because God is going to transform their lives. Can that happen in America? We're starting to see it. We're starting to see it. Where, sorry, you can't have church service, but we can have tattoos and bars open, right? It makes no sense, right? And I'll tell you what, I can't, and this is just for me personally, the first Thursday we had service, it was like homecoming, I don't know. It was so awesome just coming together and fellowshipping and worshiping together and hearing God's word. Yeah. Don't let things that happen, don't let what people are saying cause you to be angry. Let them see the love of Christ. Because, I use this a lot, but people love to push buttons. Sometimes you just got to let them go. And you have to love them and pray for them. See, John said, you are of God, little children, in 1 John 4, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's the contrast. We are of Christ. Christ indwells us. His nature flows from our lives. And thus, our lives should reflect the things of God. The craziness of the world. This whole thing in Seattle, where they've cordoned off this area. They're not part of the United States anymore. I just have a question, just one. Why do you have a border up? Yeah. I thought it was supposed to be open. Why do you now have to show ID to get into your new country? That's the ridiculousness of all of this. And I'll tell you, if you don't believe it, this is Romans chapter 1. And if you don't know what chapter 1 is about in Romans, go read it. When you take God out of your life, out of the life of a nation, God gives you over to depraved things. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And we're seeing at such a rate today that it blows our mind. We see these things, we go, can't these people see what they're doing? They can't. Because God has given them over. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would pour out, would open the eyes and ears of these people, that they would see the truth. This is a battle for lives. And do we want Satan to win or do we want God to win? They can't hear the things of God because they're insensitive to them. But pray. Salvation comes by sharing the Word of God opened up by the Spirit of God. We don't save people. God does. So separate ourselves from this world in a sense. Before you go into battle, get rid of those things that are hindering you. And secondly, having only 300 men going up against 135,000 men, from a human perspective, would be foolish. I mean, no one would go into battle with something like that. It makes no sense. But God's not sending them in alone. He's going with them. And it changes everything, doesn't it? Absolutely. He's going to give them this victory. And why is God doing this? Why did God whittle them down to just 300? Well, Judges 7:2. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" There's the reason. This has to be a walk of faith on your part, guys. You have to trust me. Even though the odds are against you, there's no way you're going to do this on your own. I'm not sending you in alone. I'm going in with you. It's a walk of faith, and you're going to see the salvation that I will bring to the battle that you're going to face. Now, we don't always see, and I think that's most of the time, what God is doing or how he's going to accomplish this victory for us until we get through it and we look back. And some may feel it's not fair, it's not right. You know, why doesn't he just tell us how he's going to accomplish this victory for us? Because then it's really not faith. Faith is seeing the impossible as being very possible with God. And so you just walk accordingly. It's trusting God at his word and not by sight. You know, I remember years ago, missionaries going into China with Bibles packed in their car. And it's illegal. You could not bring Bibles into China. And so they'd get to the border. They'd have to show their identification, all the paperwork to be let in. And then the soldiers would say, "Pop your trunk." And they would obey. They'd open up the trunk. And these soldiers would look in there. And they say, "Okay, go." It's like they didn't even see the Bibles there. Can we trust God like that? To do the impossible? Because he can. He's God. And for Gideon, think about it. He can only trust in God because there was nothing else to trust for him. And I think that's true for us. Who else are you going to trust? There really is no one but God. Who are you going to put your faith in? All these other gods crumble to the ground because they're not gods. They're things that man has made, created in his own mind. There's only one true God. And it really leads us to our next point, God's promise. Look at verse 9 here in Judges 7. "And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp.' Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp." Now, think about this. There's 135,000 soldiers, men, in this camp, ready for battle. And God says, "Gideon, go down there and see what's going on." I don't know. I'd be fearful to do that, wouldn't you? And God says, "Well, if you're afraid, Gideon, take Purah, your servant, with you." And God did this for one simple reason. Gideon was afraid. He was afraid of this battle he was in. I mean, God eliminated most of Gideon's army. 300 men, that's all that he has left. 31,700 soldiers walked away. And he's going to have to do battle against 135,000 Midianites. And what I love here about God is his grace and mercy that he extends to Gideon. God wanted Gideon to find encouragement in this visit to the enemy's camp. And what this tells me is that when God asks us to do things that are hard, he doesn't fold his arms and sit back and expect us to do it on our own. He's there to guide us and keep us and encourage us all along the way. Haven't you found that in your walk with the Lord, that there's always something that God encourages you and helps you and guides you with as he wants you to do something that is really hard or you're facing a difficult situation in your life? I have many times. And again, Gideon's fearful, And God wants to strengthen his faith. And God says, you're not going to only be victorious, but I want you to go down to the enemy's camp with your servant Puro, if you're afraid, and hear what the enemy is saying about this battle. And it's out of all that that Gideon's going to be strengthened. And the difficult lesson for us is, the situation for Gideon, did it change? Think about it. After God said this, did the number of his soldiers increase? No. Did the number of soldiers for the Midianites decrease? No. It's still 135,000 Midianites to 300 soldiers of Gideon. So that didn't change. The odds were still 450-1. But God says, I'm going to give you this victory. It's his promise to Gideon. You know, and it's easy to read the promises of God, right? You know, the famous one, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so when a brother or sister or a friend is going through a difficult time, what do we say? Oh, you know, brother, all things work together for good. You got to just trust God. But what happens when we face that? See, those promises are for us. Yes, there's nothing wrong with sharing them with others. But do we actually believe what God is saying? That all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. I don't always get it. I don't always see it. I don't understand it. But I know that all things work together. You know why I know? Because God said it. That's all I have. And if I can't trust God in the things of my life right now, how could I trust him for my salvation? Think about that. How many of you have a card that says, you know, get into heaven? Any of you? No. God didn't give you one when you got saved? Well, you better see him, man. No, none of us have cards. What do we have? We have the promise of God in his word. And we believe it by faith. And so when God promises to us that all things work together for good, can we believe that by faith? He didn't say you have to understand it. That was the problem for Job, wasn't it? All of that Job was going through, and he spent like some 30-some chapters trying to figure it out. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. My friends are even against me. And then God said, hey, Job, were you there when I created the foundations of the world? See, God was saying to Job, Job, you got to trust me on this one. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean I'm not with you here. And that's what God says to us. And he wants us to believe in his promises, to trust in him all the way. And it's not easy, guys. We all know that. We do become fearful. We are afraid of the situations that we find ourselves in. But remember what Paul wrote in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. For he himself has said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's a perspective. Hey, if God is on my side and he's created the heavens and the earth, is there anything that's out of his control in my life? No. I just need to trust him and walk by faith. He's never going to leave me, and he's going to walk with me. You know, again, fear is one of Satan's most popular weapons, and he uses it against us. And one of them that he likes to use is, oh, you're just not a good Christian. You know, God's far away from you. He doesn't care about you anymore. Look at all the things that are happening in your life. It's kind of like a Job experience, right? And we've all felt that way at some point, that God is distant or he's not for us. But that's not true. God's with us through the storms of life. And we have to remind ourselves by reading God's word. I'll give you a few. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, nor do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord said that to Joshua when? Before he entered the promised land. I'm going to be with you, man. Don't be afraid. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hey, God is going to uphold my life no matter what I'm going through. Well, why do some people like missionaries get killed? It doesn't look like God protected them. Why do some Christians who are great Christians, godly men and women, why do they die? They're with the Lord. Again, this isn't our home. We're aliens and strangers passing through. So as we pass through this life, we go home to be with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So absolutely, nothing happens in my life without God allowing it. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous, do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Yeah, the enemy is big, strong, powerful. They have lots of money, lots of resources. But God says, look, I'm with you. Get a different perspective here. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I love that. Rejoicing over us with gladness. Oh, we're a child of God. And he quiets us with his love. What does that mean? When we see all that God has done for us, he just quiets our spirit. Okay, Lord, why am I afraid? I look what you've done for me. Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God for that. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. And yes, God calls us to do things that seem way out of our reach. But, he doesn't leave us there. He will guide us. He encourages us so we can walk by faith. He's stretching our faith, getting us to trust more and more in him so our faith will grow. And even with the doubts and the fears we may have, God comforts us and leads us so we can press on and move forward. Let me give you a perspective of how big our God is, because I think we lose that. I think sometimes our eyes are so focused upon the world that we lose the perspective of who God is. There was a study released, and it was 2010, by Yale astronomer Peter Van Doinkum. And he took the estimated number of stars in the universe, 100 sextillion, and tripled it. And that was a guess. Think about that. 100 sextillion, 200, 300, 400 sextillion stars. That's a lot of stars. You go, well, so what? What's the big deal about that? Well, God created all those stars, but that's not the most impressive thing. In Isaiah 40:26, we're told this, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name, by greatness of his might and strength of his power. Not one is missing. Psalm 147:4-5. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Not only did God create everything, even all the hundreds and hundreds of sextillions of stars, he knows them all by name. Can you imagine? In my family with my mom and dad, they had four boys. And I love my dad. And I'm so much like him. But he would, four boys. Anyway, when he wanted to get speak to one of us, he would start at the top. He'd go, Joe, John, Jerry, Jim. And he'd be right. Because it was one of those four. I call my grandkids Tony all the time. Poor Liam and Kane. I'm always calling them Tony. Tony. And then, oh, sorry. That's your dad. Sorry. It's my son. God calls them all by name. God's understanding is infinite. His power is infinite. He knows what's going to happen, and thus what he wants us to do is walk by faith. And that's great. We can do that. And then there's our next point, which really messes with us, against all odds. Look at Judges 7:12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number. as the sand by the seashore in multitude. You know, with all that God has told Gideon, he and his servant Purah head down to the camp of the Midianites. And he's probably pretty excited. You know, God's going to give us this victory. They're probably talking. And then he comes to the camp of the Midianites. And could you imagine what that looked like? 135,000 soldiers down there. And I think his heart sank. You know, he was overwhelmed. And remember what we're told. The Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Wow. You might say they went down to the valley of the shadow of death, right? I mean, this was not a good thing. The enemy is everywhere, uncountable, like a locust plague, and they filled the valley floor. And they're armed. They have camels. Camels were frightening to men on foot. Gideon had none. The Midianites had thousands of them. And can you imagine what he felt like when he saw the camp of the Midianites in that valley? But God had promised that when they got down there, they would hear something to strengthen them, to encourage them. So he pressed on. Have you ever felt yourself in a, or found yourself, excuse me, in a situation like that where odds are totally against you and you're losing hope, you're becoming more and more fearful? We probably all have been there. And what was Gideon going to do? I mean, think about it. Do you just run away? Sometimes people do. Or continue on and go to the camp. Now, if God or if Gideon didn't have any of God's promises for him, that would be overwhelming. But he did have God's promises, even though the situation for Gideon was against all odds. It wasn't going to stop him from what God had called him to do. So they reach the outskirts of the Midianite camp. They kind of creep in under cover of darkness. And as we're going to see, they're going to hear a hushed conversation coming from one of the tents. And they edge closer to try and hear what's being said. And now they can start to hear it. And that's what we're going to look at next, the encouragement of God. Look at verse 13. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have just had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Now, keep in mind, you know, Israel was nothing. They were under oppression. They're portrayed in this dream of one of these Midian men as a loaf of barley bread. Barley was nothing. Barley meal was food for dogs or cattle, not for men. And so they were despised, looked down upon. And the soldier is telling his buddy this dream he had. And it's about a loaf of barley, which, again, was the poor man's bread. It was insignificant. Rolled into the camp of the Midianites and destroyed them. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if my wife woke up and was telling me something like that, I'd be like, "Honey, have you been at the sauce a little? What's going on here?" I mean, that is a bizarre dream. And now this is your battle buddy, right? Another soldier is telling you this. I'd be like, maybe I need another battle buddy because this guy is whacked, right? But the story continues on. And it's interesting. His buddy now is giving the interpretation. And he says, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Now that is amazing. First of all, how did they even know it was Gideon, right, that was going to do this? God revealed this to these guys. This is an amazing revelation. If I would have been those guys, I would have exited the camp, right? I don't want to go into battle against the children of Israel. We're going to be destroyed. And think about this. You're in a camp getting ready for battle, and you tell your buddy, hey, I had this dream. And the buddy goes, well, yeah, it sounds like Gideon's coming and is going to destroy us all. That's not what you want to do before battle. You know, it's kind of like, you know, play a football game and you go, oh man, I can't believe we're playing these guys. We're going to get killed. Why are we even going out there? That's not how you get fired up for a game. But that's exactly what's going on. We're dead here. Encouragement, though, for Gideon and Purah, and it's going to be for the children of Israel in this battle. It spurs them on.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.